Springfield's Talk 1041. I am Nick Reed. Welcome on this Monday. Sunny, a high of 80 today. We'll have a look at the KTTS First Alert forecast coming up here. As we get things kicked off for hour number three of the show, President Trump has been nominated for a second Nobel Peace Prize, this on the heels of yet another Mideast peace deal. Yeah, this is not a repeat, though you may not have heard this. Democrats are, oh, this is no peace in the Middle East. That's a nothing issue. Meaningful steps in the right direction, that's silliness. Some are even saying this is just a campaign ploy. Well, it ain't a bad one. If Trump is creating meaningful steps towards peace in the Middle East just to get reelected, that's not a bad way to get reelected. It's not like trying to steal an election. It's not like trying to create a less secure voting system. It's not like he's filling out or having people within the party fill out massive amounts of absentee ballots or early voting ballots. He's actually making the world a better place. What a horrible guy. Absolutely terrible. We need someone in there who's just going to talk about doing things like create peace in the Middle East, but not actually do it. What is this guy, out of his mind? Here's Don Luzader with the latest news.
And good morning. The Springfield Public School District says it has tracked 31 cases of COVID-19 in the last week or so, from September 6th to the 12th. The latest schools affected: Cherokee Middle School, Pipkin Middle School, and Central High School. We have more details, including additional schools affected over the last week or so, with this story at KSGF.com. A man wanted for felony crimes in Arizona is under arrest after Springfield police apprehended him over the weekend. Arthur Lean is wanted for the sexual assault of a child and has been on Maricopa County's most wanted list for several weeks. Lean is being held in the Greene County Jail. And Target's car seat trade-in is going on now through the 26th of September. During this trade-in event, you're able to trade an old car seat or a base by taking it to a nearby Target and getting a 20% off coupon that can be used to purchase one baby gear item, such as a stroller or another car seat. A box inside the store will be designated for drop-off. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. Sunny 80 today, low of 59 overnight tonight. Tomorrow, sunny 83 and a 50% chance of afternoon showers. On Wednesday, with a high of 83, it's 59 now. The sun shining through some clouds, but it's mostly sunny. Now, I've got to correct myself here. I referenced Trump being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize again because of yet another deal in the Middle East. But that's not what the second nomination's for. The second nomination is for brokering a historic peace deal between Serbia and Kosovo. In a Friday morning tweet, Magnus Jacobson, a member of the Swedish parliament, announced he was nominating the Trump administration and the two European nations for their joint work for peace and economic development through the cooperative agreement signed in the White House. Trade and communications are important building blocks for peace, he wrote. On Wednesday, the president was nominated for the award by a member of the Norwegian parliament. You know what's interesting? These are these countries that we hear touted so often by the left as, you know, our European allies that we should look to. And these are the countries that we keep being told by Joe Biden hate us because of Donald Trump. That the only people who like the United States are dictators, because Trump has alienated all of our allies and turned them against us. Yet it's these folks from these allied countries that are nominating President Donald Trump for a peace prize. It's so weird. Christian Tybring Jetty told Fox News, "For his merit, I think he's done more trying to create peace between nations than most other peace prize nominees." Trump last Friday hosted the leaders of Serbia and Kosovo to sign the landmark Economic Normalization Agreement. Kosovo split from Serbia in 2008, declaring independence with U.S. assistance following that war in which 10,000 Muslim ethnic Albanians were killed. Trump said at the Oval Office, flanked by Kosovo Prime Minister Abdullah Hodi and Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić, It took decades, but you didn't have anybody trying to get it done. There was a lot of fighting, and now there's a lot of love, he continued. I mean, Trump, this guy, I'm sorry. Regardless of how one feels about his personality or even his policies, this guy is spitting out peace deals left and right. He, in the last few weeks, has achieved more meaningful peace deals than most presidents do in their entire two-term presidency, if they have two terms. United Arab Emirates and Israel. You got Serbia and Kosovo. And Trump has announced a deal between Bahrain and Israel to normalize relations and a push for the Middle East. Fox News reporting President Trump Friday announced Bahrain has agreed to normalize relations with Israel, another diplomatic win for the president, coming after a similar agreement with the United Arab Emirates. Trump said in the Oval Office, this is really something special, very special. It will become more secure and prosperous as a result of the move. He said the sand was loaded up with blood, and now you'll see a lot of that sand will be loaded up with peace. According to a formal statement issued by the three countries, they agreed to the establishment of full diplomatic relations between Israel and the Kingdom of Bahrain. Statement read, this is a historic breakthrough to further peace in the Middle East. Opening direct dialogue and ties between these two dynamic societies and advanced economies will continue the positive transformation of the Middle East and increase stability, security, and prosperity in the region. The statement said that Israel has also affirmed that all Muslims may visit and pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and Jerusalem's other holy sites will remain open for peaceful worship of all faith. I mean, Trump is getting things done that, frankly, other presidents have, I say tried with quotes, because I think that past presidents have recognized that nothing comes of this stuff. It never happens. And so we'll get together and we'll try. I mean, it's just amazing. One after another, as of the last several weeks. And what's sad is these are actual meaningful steps forward. And people who for years and years and years and years and years have gone on about peace, 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 peace. And it gets totally ignored because Donald Trump's the one doing it. Donald Trump has done more for peace in the world over the last several weeks than the United Nations has done in its entire existence, if you're talking about actual meaningful results. And the way that he's going about this is actually pretty remarkable. And I want to explain this after the break. It is a demonstration of how President Trump approaches things differently than all past presidents and, frankly, the vast majority of world leaders. Hence why his way works, and there's dozens. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Trump's approach to these peace deals, specifically in the Middle East, are being portrayed as small potatoes. United Arab Emirates and now Bahrain, and it's like, well, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, the real deal is Palestinians. That's where the problem is. Now, this is where Trump is successful, and frankly, I'll use the word brilliant. Not book smart, but street smart. The approach, which has been the failed approach of dealing with the peace in the Middle East situation in the past, particularly, let's say, the Israelis and the Palestinians, this is always such a big sore point. And it's the one area in which other countries have, in the Middle East, stayed out of it because they don't want to be portrayed or seen as, pro-Jewish, pro-Israeli. And so even though the Palestinians can be problematic, they just quietly side with the Palestinians. You know, it's the big rivalry in the Middle East. And while there are other rivalries that take place, that's the one in which just by default, everyone, of course, sides with the Palestinians by not saying anything often. So the way the past presidents have seen it is the creation of peace in the Middle East is trickle down, if you will. That if we get the Palestinians and the Israelis to come to an agreement, then all of the other countries, because the Palestinians are in the agreement and they've come to peace, then all the other countries say, okay, that's great. We support this if the Palestinians do. The problem, of course, is that the Palestinians have no interest at all in actual peace. Their interest is Jews gone, destroyed, run into the sea, Israel no longer is a state. So it is based on the nature of the motivation for the Palestinians, it's a lost cause. Trump's approach is different. His approach is bottom up. He's smart enough to know, he knows what, and this is, Trump figures out what motivates people. What motivates them? What motivates the Palestinians when it comes to the Jews? They hate him, they want him dead. He understands you cannot make any sort of deal with people who want the other side dead. You can't do that. It's a waste of time. What about all the other countries in the region? What's their motivation? The other countries in the region, some more, you know, focused on Islam than others, but ultimately, they've kind of gotten with the game of wanting to be more advanced societies. Now, the Palestinians have no interest in that. They are totally ideological. They don't have any interest at all in, you know, increasing wealth, increasing the commerce in their community. That isn't of interest to them. But it is to countries like United Arab Emirates, to Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, these other countries. Trump knows that he can help broker deals between Israel and some of these other countries that will give them what they're looking for. Because their interest isn't to drive the Jews into the sea. Their interest isn't the destruction of Israel. So what Trump is doing, he's essentially working towards creating an atmosphere in which the Palestinians are the odd man out. He is creating an atmosphere in which siding with Israel is more beneficial to all of these other countries than siding with the Palestinians. So, and I can tell you exactly what is, and he starts with the small ones. And then you build on the next level, on the next level, on the next level, and what his ultimate goal would be, and what I guarantee you he will keep working towards if he gets reelected, is getting as many countries in the Middle East as possible to get on board with benefiting from a relationship with Israel, to where the Palestinians become a pain in all of their butts. To where the constant attacks against the Israelis then become a detriment to the United Arab Emirates and any of the other countries that eventually signed peace deals with Israel. It is such a brilliant way to go about it, yet it's so simple at the same time. And this is, again, the difference between Trump's approach and the approach of these, you know, academic types. Trump has the street smarts. They mock him for not being very articulate. They mock him for not understanding history. They mock him for not knowing how to talk to world leaders. They mock him for not understanding the academic way that you are quote-unquote supposed to do things. Meanwhile, he sizes everyone up. He understands what is their motivation. He understands what is it they want. He understands how to create conditions in which, in the case of the Middle East, a relationship with Israel will give them much more of what they want than standing back idly by or even siding with the Palestinians. He gets crap done. And that's what these other folks just don't get. They would rather it not get done their way than get done his. And not just because he's Trump, but because it's not their way. Now, if you think that that is an oversimplification, let's go back to when Mexico was not in any way, shape, or form helping and even facilitating these caravans coming up through the United States. And you may recall Trump threatened to withhold, I believe it was certain amounts, it was a funding, there was something, I went into this forgetting the exact carrot, but he made a threat to Mexico that you all had better step this up or you're not going to get this. And by the end of the weekend, Mexico had dispatched troops to their southern border to stop the caravans. And I remember Nancy Pelosi being asked about it, commenting on it, because it was undeniable that his way worked, that it was a bad thing because of the way he did it. It didn't matter that it worked. The way he did it was wrong, strong-arming Mexico, creating a scenario in which Mexico recognized that it was to their benefit to actually help Trump when it comes to their southern border with troops, as opposed to helping those who are trying to come into the country illegally. That is what he does. But see, to the elites, the results are irrelevant. It's the method. It's the way that it looks. It's the pageantry, not the actual outcome that's important, that makes one presidential. Which is why to them, someone like Joe Biden, who has been wrong on virtually every foreign policy decision ever, this is a guy, the one guy in the room that was against getting bin Laden. This is the guy that wanted to essentially colonize in the Middle East by taking Iraq and making it three separate countries. You can go down the list of things, but he knows the right way to do things in terms of the method, the way that you say things. Trump doesn't understand that. All he gets are meaningful results. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. So we've got the nomination of the Nobel Peace Prize, yet another nomination for President Trump. Of course, that will go absolutely nowhere. And frankly, who would want it? ESPN is hoping that one of the architects of rock and roll can help revamp the Monday Night Football show, as there will be fewer fans in the stand this year. The new season starting Monday will feature a new version of Little Richard's hit Rip It Up, featuring new instrumentals and backup vocals from the Virginia-based band Butcher Brown. The song will replace Hank Williams Jr.'s All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over Tonight, which was repurposed with new lyrics like All My Rowdy Friends Are Here for Monday Night. The Williams song was used on the show for two periods, 89 through 11, and then again in 2017 through 2019. ESPN said in a press release on Friday that Little Richard's song will be combined with NFL and team highlights. The 1956 song was a number one R&B hit for the flamboyant Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, who died in May at the age of 87 in Tennessee. Butcher Brown said in a statement provided by ESPN, "We're truly excited to have teamed up with ESPN for this project and are honored to have had the opportunity to work with the music of the king of rock and roll, Little Richard." Now, let me tell you what I find to be interesting about this. Little Richard was known, and he fully acknowledged this in his later years. I mean, this was a guy who had preferences that were considered outside the norm. In fact, he was arrested at one point very early on in his career because he had a friend who it was a gal friend of his whom she would let him watch, if you know what I'm saying, her with another guy. And there were a number of other things, but he would, point being, as time went on, Little Richard, his belief regarding his lifestyle of homosexuality was wrong, and was very vocal about the fact that he felt homosexuality was a sin straight from hell. And he wasn't shy about expressing that. He talked about it when he would go on late night talk shows and how he was a deviant, how that was deviant behavior, how that was horrible, awful, and just the awful, sinful nature of homosexuality. I find it very interesting that in this woke era, particularly with the NFL, that they would change their opening night song, I guess this would be ESPN, for Monday Night Football, that was written by an individual that in his later years was so, what in today's terms would be called, homophobic. And I'm wondering if any of those, I mean, they're out there. I mean, all you got to do is just find interviews on YouTube of Little Richard on some of the late night talk shows in his latter years. And he openly talks about it. It's not a secret. He went touring the country, lecturing people on the evils of homosexuality. So if there will be any sort of pushback from the LGBT community on this, or if this will be one of those things where it's just ignored, sometimes there's a lot of picking and choosing going on, and there isn't any rhyme or reason why some individuals have to be wiped from our history because of their beliefs, but others are celebrated. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Regarding ESPN shifting from the Hank Williams Jr.'s theme to a theme that's centraled around a hit from the 50s by Little Richard, and my surprise, because Little Richard, he was in his latter years, what would by today's standards be certainly considered homophobic, just so there's no mistake about whether or not the LGBT community is aware of this, when he died, LGBTQNation.com had an article titled "Little Richard Was Anti-Gay When He Died, But His Queer Culture Influence Overshadows Us All." And it was an article about his homophobic and transphobic teachings. Oh, I guess ESPN is now embracing and celebrating homophobia? Or is this one get a pass? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if the LGBT community speaks up. Here's Don Luzader with news.
Good morning. A veteran police officer from St. Louis is in stable condition after being shot while trying to stop a car. Officers tried to pull over the driver Sunday night for not having a license plate. That driver pulled to the side of the road but then sped off, and a passenger started firing shots. No arrests have been made. It's the ninth time an officer has been shot in St. Louis since June 1st. And Missouri's regulators have spent $1.3 million to defend themselves in court against a wave of lawsuits filed by businesses denied medical marijuana business licenses. Those businesses that did not receive permits from the state filed hundreds of appeals through the state's Administrative Hearing Commission, and as of last week, nearly 800 of those cases remain unresolved. The state says it received more than 2,200 facility applications, but only awarded 348 total licenses. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. Sunny, a high of 80 today, 59 tonight, 83 tomorrow, and a 50% chance of afternoon showers Wednesday. High again of 83. Current temp, 59. Sunny. MSNBC legal analyst Glenn Kirshner has claimed President Trump committed second-degree murder with his coronavirus response and the way he's handled it. Now, this is supposed to be a legal analyst. President Trump is second-degree murder. Now, of course, this is absurd. The claim is based upon the fact that Trump openly, in an interview, he knew it was being recorded, for the purposes of writing a book. Now, why he did this, I don't know. Why he bothered even talking to Bob Woodward, I don't know. But he did. And when it came to his public presentation and how he dealt with the coronavirus, he talked about playing down. Reasonable people recognize that while some easily can misinterpret that, the president was reflecting on what anyone who understands anything about leadership understands, and that is, you don't create panic. When you're in school and there's a tornado, the teacher does not, you know, scream, everyone run and hide, we're all going to die. When you watch any of the meteorologists or you listen to the coverage from KTTS when it comes to very dangerous conditions, everyone, there's no panic. None of these people, you know, are pulling their hair out saying, if you don't get out of the way of the path of this, you're going to die. Make peace with your God. They don't do that. If you notice in their presentation, they're very calm. And that's because panicking never benefits anyone. Was it Quiet Riot? There was that incident, I think it was Quiet Riot, where they were in an indoor venue. Would have this been the mid-2000s, late-90s, somewhere around there. And they had pyrotechnics inside, and there was a fire that was caused, and there were a tremendous number of people that were killed, and it wasn't the fire, but it was the panic. Everyone panicked, tried running out as fast as they could. People were getting trampled. You basically had bodies that were blocking the door because everyone's trying to get out at once. Panic killed people unnecessarily. Doesn't mean that there wouldn't have been some deaths, but that's what did the vast majority of those deaths. Now, as we know, the media wants to portray this instead as a lie. Now, let's just talk, though, a little compare and contrast here. The last administration, I think we can all agree, downplayed ISIS. Told us that ISIS was just the JV team, and just because they wanted to put on varsity jerseys did not mean that they were that big of a deal. Now, of course, what we would learn is that they were a big deal, and they became an even bigger deal until President Trump came along and told our military, do what you need to get rid of them. They went from a so-called JV team to taking over massive pieces of land in Syria and Iraq. All right, you say, well. So they both downplayed the scenario. Yes, but their behavior in dealing with the scenario was much different. While Trump was presenting a face of calm, he was feverishly working with governors of states, with different organizations, with private companies working out deals so that they would stop manufacturing what they normally manufactured and instead creating devices that would be used in the fight against the coronavirus. Trump didn't say coronavirus is no big deal and then just sat back and did nothing. In fact, while Trump was doing things, Democrats were out there saying we should do nothing other than, you know, Nancy Pelosi, come on down to the market. Come join me, she said. Joe Biden called out Trump's travel bans. There were a number of states, Gavin Newsom being the governor of one of these states, which when pressed on the interaction with the Trump administration, saying anytime we needed something, Trump got it to us. It became such a destructive narrative for the media that they began questioning whether or not these individuals like Gavin Newsom and others were essentially behaving like hostages and felt as if they were forced to say nice things because otherwise the evil Trump would cut off their supplies. There is not a single... We went from a country that freaked out because of a lack of ventilators to a situation in which not a single person who needed one went without. And much of that, again, was because of President Trump working deals behind the scenes to get some of these companies that didn't make ventilators to start making ventilators. He cut red tape telling states, if you have a way to get a hold of this equipment that is going to be faster than we can do it, go ahead. Whatever rules and regulations say you can't, forget about it, just do it. Do whatever needs to be done. So, President Trump was trying to keep calm for everyone, playing it down while behind the scenes working feverishly in order to combat the problem. Not to mention pushing companies, giving them incentives in order to create vaccines. I mean, you could just go down the list of things that he was actually doing. Now let's look at Obama downplaying ISIS. What was he doing behind the scenes? Nothing. So ISIS did go from a JV team into, for a period of time, the most dangerous terrorist organization in the world. You see the difference there? Now, I don't know about you. I'm fine with keeping calm. I'm fine with people in positions of leadership trying to not panic people. But then I would like the person in charge to actually not ignore the problem. Should we talk about Benghazi? Now, that was a flat-out lie. It's a coordinated terrorist attack that was specifically set up on September 11th. We were told that, oh, it was just some random people. They were just, you know, these protesters that were angry because of a video that was put online. We know for a fact they knew that wasn't true. That was a lie. That wasn't simply the president trying to keep calm. That was a president and a secretary of state and a spokesperson, Susan Rice, and went out and deliberately lied to the American people about what caused it, to downplay it. The reasons for that downplaying, of course, was because President Trump was running on, President Obama was running on, among other things, the fact that he was strong on terrorism. So in order to win re-election, he had to lie to the American people about the serious nature of what actually happened in Benghazi. See the differences there? Fort Hood shooter. Terrorist attack. Fort Hood. What did the Obama administration declare that it was? It was just workplace violence. It's nothing to see here. Don't worry. It's just the standard run-of-the-mill workplace violence. We know that was a lie. This was an individual who had been reported by numerous people because of his anti-American rhetoric. The guy was clearly a terrorist. So if we really want to talk about downplaying a situation, I'm more than happy to compare and contrast between previous administrations, specifically the one that Joe Biden was part of, versus Donald Trump's. And to articulate the difference between downplaying and lying, because we have clear examples of each. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Democrats are fond of demonizing dark money, yet being the largest recipients of dark money. Dark money is what is referred to as money that people are able to donate without having their name put on a government list. Now, I'm not against that. I don't think that just because you want to participate in the political process, you have to be on a government database. I'm opposed to that. But in many instances, this is what you have to do, particularly if it's over a certain amount. It has become clear that Democrats are really planning on relying tremendously on dark money this election cycle, so that you cannot see where the money comes from. There is an exclusive report that Fox News has regarding an organization called Act Blue. And this is a Democrat fundraising platform. And analysis was done that showed nearly half of all of the donations that came in 2019 were from people who claimed they were unemployed. Now, let me explain why this is significant or why this is even known. What you cannot do in this country is what's called bundling. When you donate to a campaign, you're only allowed to donate so much. Now, what is bundling? Bundling is, let's say, I'm the CEO of a company, and I want to help raise money for a particular candidate, and I've got 100 employees, and I have all 100 of them make the maximum donation to the candidate, but then I turn around and write all of them a check in order to pay for it. And so it's called, I'm sorry, it's not called bundling, but that's where, you know, I essentially am skirting around the campaign finance laws by paying back people for making donations. You can't do that. In order to monitor this, when people are making political donations of a certain amount, they must disclose who their employer is. They do that so you can, you know, if you have this political organization and they are receiving a maximum amount of donations from a disproportionately high number of people from one business, then that would be considered a red flag. And boy, that seems like an awfully strange coincidence. And, you know, maybe we should look into this. So that's how they're able to see whom it is folks work for. Well, what they notice is that there was a 50% of those people said, oh, I don't work. I don't have an employer. And they're going, that seems a little strange. Particularly given that this was from 2019 when the unemployment rate was historically low. The preliminary computer analysis by the Take Back Action Fund, which was obtained by Fox News, found that nearly half of the 2019 donations to Act Blue were made by people who claimed they didn't have an employer. Action Fund President John Pudner questioned the veracity of the donations, called it a loophole that must be closed for the sake of election integrity. He said, after downloading hundreds of millions of dollars in donations to the Take Back Action Fund servers, we were shocked to see that almost half the donations to Act Blue in 2019 claimed to be unemployed. The name of employers must be disclosed when making political donations, but more than 4.7 million donations came from people who claim that they did not have an employer. Those 4.7 million donations totaled $346 million Act Blue dollars that Act Blue raised and sent to liberal causes. The trend is continuing this year. An Action Fund examination of 2020 data from January through August show an uptick in unemployed donations through Act Blue to 50.1%. And one of the major concerns here is foreign influence. That you have countries like China that are having these sorts of donations made, but then, you know, you just put not employed so that they can't trace it. They don't know where this is coming from, you know, and that you have foreign dollars influencing the election. This would be a more sophisticated version if China, for example, were involved of what the Clintons did, where they just, back then in the 90s, they just had trash bags filled with cash that were turned over for campaign purposes, but with, you know, things are a little more sophisticated today in the way that they do things. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. So when Nicole Galloway or these other Democrats are out there running around bemoaning dark money, understand that they are the benefactors of it. And they will claim, well, I mean, we don't like the game, but we just, to keep things even, we have to play in that world. That is an absolute lie, because they by far exceed Republicans when it comes to dark money. If they were really truly interested in just trying to play fair, they wouldn't raise the amounts of money they do so far beyond what Republicans do when it comes to the dark money issue. Glenn Beck's coming up next. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Nick Reed.